should not provide assistance that could require the deployment of American troops or enable Ukraine to engage in offensive operations beyond its borders. President Joe Biden has said U.S. troops will not be deployed and has not encouraged Kiev to go beyond attempting to expel the Russians from its territory. F-16s and long-range missiles should be off the table, Ron DeSantis said. These moves would risk explicitly drawing the United States closer to a hot war between the world's two largest nuclear powers. That risk is unacceptable. The Florida governor also said a policy of regime change in Russia, no doubt popular among the D.C. foreign policy interventionists, would greatly increase the stakes of the conflict, making the use of nuclear weapons more likely. Apart from an off-the-cuff Biden remark a year ago saying that Putin cannot remain in power, the Biden administration has been adamant it is not pursuing regime change in Russia. In his response to Tucker Carlson, Donald Trump claimed, "Russia would definitely not have raided and attacked Ukraine if I was U.S. president."
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on The Key, we are going to be asking a very important and a very informative question, and that question is about what are the characteristics of the God-wary and the pious, the muttaqin? You know, we all know that piety is a very important virtue in Islam. It's actually the most significant of virtues. It's the sole criterion of honor and nobility within Islam. But sometimes, it's just something very vague. What does it mean to be pious? Fortunately, we have an answer to this question in the Quran and the Hadith. For example, one verse of the Holy Quran, we read the following. God-wariness is not to turn your faces to the east or the west. God-wariness is personified by those who have faith in Allah and the last day, the angels, the book, and the prophets, and who give their wealth for the love of Him to the needy, the traveler, and the beggar, and for the freeing of the slaves, and maintain the prayer and give the zakat, and those who fulfill their covenants when they pledge themselves, and those who are patient in stress and distress and in the heat of battle. They are the ones who are true to their covenant, and it is they who are God-wary. Also, in another verse of the Holy Quran, we read, "Indeed, the God-wary will be amid gardens and springs, receiving what their Lord has given them, for they had been virtuous aforetime. They used to sleep a little during the night, and at dawns they would plead for forgiveness, and there was a share in their wealth for the beggar and the deprived." These are all beautiful characteristics of the God-wary people. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The God-wary are those who are wary of Allah, for something does not necessarily require wariness for fear of entering into obscurity." And finally, in his advice to Abu Dharr, in a very famous, this is a very famous hadith, in which the Prophet gave some advice to his companion, Abu Dharr. In a part of this hadith, in a part of this narration and conversation, the Prophet Muhammad, he said, "O Abu Dharr, a man will not be among the God-weary until he takes account of himself more than a partner would take account of his business partner, such that he knows where his food comes from, where his drinks comes from, where his clothes come from. Do they come from the lawful or the prohibited?" These are another one of the characteristics of the God-weary. Imam Baqir alayhi salam said, "The commander of the faithful would often say, 'The God-weary people have signs that they are known by: speaking truthfully, returning trusts, fulfilling promises, spending for good causes, good-naturedness, ample clemency, and the pursuit of knowledge of whatever brings them closer to Allah Almighty.'" Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at the characteristics of the God-weary and the pious. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
The 8-year defense of Iranian combatants.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
Shipping is one of the world's greatest and oldest industries, with a long-standing history dating back thousands of years. As one of the oldest options for freight transportation, it's also one of the most available, since oceans and waterways cover most of our planet. In fact, more than 90% of the goods transported in the world are carried by the international shipping industry. Competitive lower prices, higher security, convenient transport, and reliable delivery are some of the benefits that shipping companies can offer to their customers. Along these lines, maritime trade, shipping, and shipbuilding have been practiced by the Iranians since ancient times. Accordingly, Iran has a significant strategic position in West Asia region today due to its connection to Indian Ocean through the Persian Gulf and the Sea of Oman. After the Gulf of Mexico and the Hudson Bay, the Persian Gulf is the third biggest gulf in the world. It covers a vast area starting from the Arvand Rud Delta in the most southwestern corner of Iran to the Strait of Hormuz, which links it with the Sea of Oman and the marginal parts of the Indian Ocean.
Aside from Iran's southern shores that also include the Makran coastal strip in Balochistan, the Caspian Sea, that is the world's largest lake, is also located in northern Iran, which gives the country a considerable amount of additional sea transport with its littoral states. The Caspian Sea is bounded by Russia, Azerbaijan, Turkmenistan, and Kazakhstan. Both Iran and Russia have several active ports in the northern and southern parts of the Caspian Sea. This region carries a significant importance in terms of energy resources and up-and-coming global trade routes. To take a look at Iran as a transportational hub, please stay with us on this edition of Iran Today.
At present, Tehran appears to be fully focused on what is called the Look East policy, pursuing a slew of trade and energy agreements with Russia, China, and Central Asian nations in the context of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization that is making Iran its ninth member. Moreover, a concerted effort has been underway to facilitate trade with the whole Eurasian territory by the Islamic Republic. In that regard, China and Iran are both close to gaining membership in the Eurasian Economic Union, which will make free trade across Russia, Belarus, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, and Armenia possible. Another institution that links economies in the region and beyond is the BRICS Group. Initially made up of Brazil, Russia, India, and China, it now also includes South Africa and is poised to expand further by including Iran and others. As part of these recent developments, Iran and Russia are building a new transcontinental trade route stretching from the eastern edge of Europe in Black Sea to the Indian Ocean, a 3,000-kilometer passage that's beyond the reach of any foreign intervention.
The fact is that our economy is tied to the sea, so our development and our economy must be sea-oriented. Why? Because more than 95% of our trades pass through seas, and in some export items, we have to admit that 100% of the goods are transferred via ship and vessels. For example, in the field of oil and its derivatives, i.e. petrochemicals. Therefore, in such a situation, it's necessary to gain and strengthen our maritime capacities and capabilities with vessels that carry Iranian flag.
The two countries are spending billions of dollars to speed up delivery of cargoes along rivers and railways linked by the Caspian Sea. Ship tracking data compiled by some media outlets show dozens of Russian and Iranian vessels are already plying the route.
The best type of transportation in the world is sea transportation for two reasons. One is that a large volume of goods is moved with a container called a ship. For example, we now have ships that can carry 25,000 containers. Its simple meaning is that it can carry the load of 25,000 trucks. The second reason is that it shortens the path. Why was the Suez or the Panama Canal built? Because the countries are close to each other through waterways. These two factors lead to the reduction of shipping costs. Today, 80% of goods in the world are transported by ship.
It's an example of how great power competition is rapidly reshaping trade networks in a world economy. Russia and Iran are turning toward each other, and they're both looking eastward too. The goal is to build new commercial links with the giant and fast-growing economies of Asia. The emerging trade corridor would allow Russia and Iran to shave thousands of kilometers off existing routes. Starting from the Sea of Azov River, sea and rail networks extend to Iranian hubs on the Caspian Sea and ultimately to the Indian Ocean. Experts estimate that Russia and Iran are investing as much as $25 billion in this corridor, helping to facilitate the flow of goods to global markets.
Beyond the self-interested U.S.-West bloc twisted perceptions, there are compelling economic reasons for the new transit route. Ships sailing the Don and Volga River traditionally traded energy and agricultural commodities. Iran is the third largest importer of Russian grain, but the range is set to widen. The two countries have announced a raft of new business deals covering goods including turbines, polymers, medical supplies, and automotive parts. Russia also supplies nuclear fuel and components for Iran's reactor in Bushehr.
Iran's strategic location in the Middle East makes it an ideal spot for freight transit. It can become a transit hub as it owns, on the one hand, access to the Far East, and on the other, to the Commonwealth of Independent States, Europe, and Africa.
The problem here is that, yes, it is very important that you have the talent for work, or that your country has the potential for something. But it is more important to create a platform to use that potential. Our geographical position is unique, but it is more important to provide the tool and to create the necessary infrastructure to exploit these geographical advantages. As a simple example, I must say that today about 2 million containers are moved in our ports, but in the port of Jebel Ali in front of us in Dubai, it has created 10 times more capacity to store containers. Well, our position is better than Jebel Ali, but why has Dubai developed the capacity of its port more than us? because it intends to develop infrastructure, both hardware infrastructure and software infrastructure.
It is worth mentioning that from the four railroad routes defined for global transit, three pass through Iran. The first route connects Western Europe to Russia, Kazakhstan, and China. The second goes through Europe to Turkey, Iran, South Asia, Southern China, and Southeast Asia. The third connects Europe to China via Iran and Central Asia, and the fourth passes through Northern Europe to Russia, to Central Asia, and the Persian Gulf.
By nature, our neighboring countries, like us, are moving in the direction of using their own advantages. They have activities in the area of transit, and in the last 10 years, their activities have grown well. It means a competition has been created between our country and the neighboring countries. For example, look at the country of Iraq. Since 10 years ago, this country has been pursuing the development of its Grand Fav port with a nominal capacity of about 100 million tons. It is expected that with the opening of this port and the development plan that Turkey is considering now for investing in Iraq and connecting rail lines, a certain amount of transit discussion in our country will come under the spotlight. Pakistan, too, with the investment of several tens of billions of dollars that China has made in Gwadar port, this port is not more than a few hundred kilometers away from our Chabahar port, and it can be a rival for the transfer of goods from Central Asian countries through Afghanistan and Pakistan.
Presently, Iran benefits from marine, air, road, and rail transportation systems. Iran's Ministry of Roads and Urban Development has set as part of the country's 6-5-year development plan an ambitious aim, according to which revenues from freight transit should exceed those from oil.
Our country potentially has many advantages in terms of its geographical and geopolitical location. 5,800 kilometers of coastline in the north and south of the country, the benefit of developed ports, 20 commercial ports with a capacity of about 270 million tons of transactions and unloading and loading volumes, educated workforce, and also having a suitable fleet level for marine transportation and the road and rail transport fleet is the capacities of our country. Let's not also forget that Iran is neighbored with landlocked countries or countries like Tajikistan and Central Asian countries, and being in the international corridors that countries use for import and export, these potentials and advantages are unparalleled.
Meanwhile, China, based on figures released by the Statistical Office of the European Union, is the biggest exporter of goods to the EU, followed by the US and Russia. If China's exports transited through Iran, it can significantly help Tehran fulfill its goals in the transportation sector. But why would China choose to carry out its transit project through Iran? Iran is a cheaper transit route compared to the existing routes. China has common borders with the former Soviet Union and access to the European market. Yet, large-scale shipping of goods would be much cheaper via maritime routes, and this is what Iran can provide through its safe routes and borders. Of course, exporters look for the shortest, quickest, cheapest, and easiest routes of transportation, and experts believe that Iran needs to measure up to these international trade demands. They believe that in order to be able to fully exploit these propitious opportunities, the government needs to take several measures and reconsider some transit rules and regulations.
Countries are developing their own transportation routes based on their own needs. And there are two things that are influential in the transportation field: transit time and transit cost. How can these two factors be improved in our country? This requires infrastructure measures. We have to expand our logistic facilities. Our ports have a lot of capacity. We have to develop our rail system accordingly. Chabahar port, as our only ocean port, is not yet connected to the national rail network. Or our ports in the north and the Caspian port are not yet fully connected to Azerbaijan and Astara rail lines. If we manage to develop these missing links, in the long term, our transit costs will be much lower and more competitive, and the desire of countries to use and pass through our ports will increase.
This is Iran Today.
Iran Today is broadcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. The series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
There's plenty more right after a quick diversion into world media.
Here's how it looks on the page. Financial Tribune reads, Iran-Venezuela direct shipping line to reinforce trade ties. Iran's embassy in Caracas has announced via Twitter that a direct shipping line has been established between Iran and Venezuela with a ship set to depart every 3 months. The aim is to support trade and merchants of both countries, with the first ship having already departed for Venezuela recently. Iran has reportedly sent the first shipment on Golsan ship to Venezuela in November. The two countries signed a 20-year cooperation roadmap during a state visit by Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro to Tehran in mid-June 2022, seeking to boost bilateral ties as they both face U.S. sanctions. Both Iran and Venezuela are heavily sanctioned by the United States, and this has brought them closer. Iran regularly sends oil to crisis-stricken Venezuela and has also loaded Venezuelan oil for sale abroad. According to Financial Times, Iran's Ghost Fleet switches into Russian oil. Tankers in Iran's Ghost Fleet have switched to carrying Russian oil since Western curbs on Moscow intensified in December as the Kremlin turned to sanctions-busting techniques pioneered by Tehran. At least 16 vessels that formed part of the Ghost Network that allowed Iran to breach U.S. sanctions have begun to ship Russian crude oil over the past 2 months, according to Financial Times research. Before the surge, just 9 vessels had switched on to the Russian route during the 9 months since the start of the war in February last year. So-called ghost ships are vessels that disguise their ownership and movements in order to facilitate breaches of sanctions. Networks of ghost ships enable the trade in Iranian and Venezuelan oil. Iran has been able to maintain or even increase its crude exports in recent months. Tehran, which cooperates on oil policy with Moscow through the OPEC Plus group, has emerged as a key backer for Russian President Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine. Tehran Times says China ready to partake in Iran's maritime projects. Considering the positive negotiations between the two sides during the recent visit of President Ebrahim Raisi to China, the Chinese have expressed readiness to participate in all Iranian marine projects, head of the Supreme Council of Marine Industries Secretariat Saeed Jafari said on Monday. Considering that China is one of the world's largest maritime producers and has large and capable companies in this field, during the recent trip we had negotiations with one of these companies and good agreements were achieved, Jafari said. He noted that the main focus of the discussions between the two sides has been on technology transfer for manufacturing large-scale vessels. Heading a high-ranking delegation, Iran's President Ebrahim Raisi was on a 3-day visit to China starting February 14th. During President Raisi's visit to China, Tehran and Beijing signed a number of bilateral cooperation documents in the fields of agriculture, trade, tourism, environmental protection, health, disaster relief, culture, and sports. In its latest maritime report dubbed Review of Maritime Transport 2021, UNCTAD, which is an intergovernmental organization within the United Nations Secretariat that promotes the interests of developing countries in world trade, has put Iran in the 22nd place among the countries with the largest shipping fleet based on deadweight tonnage. UNCTAD has put the total number of the world's commercial ships, including tankers, container ships, and bulk carriers, at the end of 2021 at 99,800. The total capacity of the mentioned ships is estimated at 2,134,640,000 tons in 2021, which has increased by 3% over the previous year. In 2020, the cargo capacity of the world shipping fleet was estimated at 2,071,638,000 tons. Based on the report, the capacity of Iran's shipping fleet is more than many industrialized countries such as France, Italy, Canada, and the Netherlands. Iran's ranking has not changed in 2021 compared to the previous year. The Islamic Republic currently has 246 vessels carrying the national flag and 8 foreign flag vessels with a total capacity of 19,251,146 tons. The total capacity of the Iranian shipping fleet has increased by 5.5% in 2021, according to the said report.
We are connected to both the sea and the ocean. What advantage does this ocean have over the sea? Almost every 10 years, draft of ships increases by 1 meter. Port Sadar in the ocean are expensive to build. But in Chabahar or the Makran coast, we need less dredging in order to reach a draft of 20 to 25 meters. Therefore, we are not just a maritime country. We are also an ocean country. That is, if one day all our ports have problems and we only build ports on Makran coast, our cost in terms of sea transportation will be lower. This issue benefits the national economy, both for import and export. Therefore, corridors from west to east and from north to south are in the country's interest due to the geographical location of Iran to pass through our country.
As Iran's flag carrier, the Islamic Republic of Iran Shipping Lines has recorded its highest annual income in the previous Iranian calendar year that ended on March 20th, despite the pandemic and the U.S. sanctions, earning $1.5 billion. According to IRISL officials, although the Iranian shipping fleet has been facing serious restrictions for accessing major ports around the world due to the COVID-19 pandemic and also the U.S. sanctions over the past 2 years, great achievements have been made in its operations, emphasizing the important role of the IRISL in maintaining and prosperity of the country's economy.
Facing a new regime of sanctions in 2018, which led European reinsurers refusing to give insurance to firms importing Iranian oil, Iran provided ships as well as insurance cover to continue exporting crude oil to its customers. It appears that Iranians have often been one step ahead of the U.S. in these matters. For many years, the Islamic Republic has frustrated American attempts to isolate it and starve its economy, even if they had to construct a parallel underground universe that Iranian entities used to avoid international controls when necessary and to conduct business abroad. This explains how Iran won the so-called maximum pressure campaign, according to a top official in the U.S. government.
According to some studies done by an international institution, in the face of obstacles and sanctions restrictions imposed on Iran, Iran's large maritime transport fleet became a significant lever in neutralizing the pressure from the American sanctions. In light of that, in 2021, 8 ships were added to Iran's commercial fleet. In 2022, this quantity grew another 1%, and Iran's cargo capacity reached 19,441,000 tons.
The sea is the most important blessing that God has given us. Imagine if we didn't have a sea. What would the sanctions do to us? If a truck wants to deliver goods to China or Europe by land, it has to pass through dozens of countries, get dozens of traffic permits, dozens of visas, and pass through dozens of borders. Even airplanes are like that. When a plane wants to go from one point to another, it has to cross the skies of several countries, and for this, it has to get permission. And about the sea, fortunately, this is not the case.
Meanwhile, considering Iran's special geographical position in the region and its shared borders with several coastal countries, both in the south and north, shipbuilding has always been among the major industries strongly entangled with the country's economy. In 1973, Iran's Shipbuilding and Offshore Industries Complex, IZO-ECO, was established as the largest shipbuilding complex in West Asia.
At first, small-sized vessels, which were considered under 2,000 tons, started to be produced decentralized in the north and south of the country. In the 1990s, based on the grand policies of the country,
factories that could be a turning point in the production of ocean-going vessels began to operate. The military industry of shipbuilding also became the cause. Naturally, due to the defense requirements and the increase in the country's capabilities, military factories were much more advanced than civilian factories, and fortunately, with the combination of science and experience of the Ministry of Defense, the opportunity was created to transfer technology from the military system to the commercial system, which accelerated growth and progress in the country's shipbuilding industry.
At the initial stage, the complex was established with the aim of creating facilities to repair small and medium-sized vessels. Later, the complex's equipment and facilities were developed for the construction and repair of larger tankers.
The science that has been institutionalized in Iran and localized by the experts of this land has made it possible to build any type of ship in Iran. Naturally, there are problems that create obstacles, and this obstacle targets technical and economic bottlenecks. We have many examples of the construction of complex ships in the military system, which were produced by the capable hands of Iranian engineers. But we have to accept the fact that because of the sanctions, we are faced with numerous shortages in this area.
In July 2019, Izoico successfully finished the overhaul operation of a supertanker for the first time inside the country. Iranian technicians managed to repair the oil supertanker door. Following the successful overhaul of door, major domestic ship owners like the National Iranian Tanker Company and the Islamic Republic of Iran Shipping Lines started referring a major part of their overhaul operations to local yards in order to reduce the costs and also to encourage domestic yards to expand their work.
For vessels below 5,000 tons, we have the ability to produce more than 90% of the equipment inside the country, but for vessels above 5,000 tons, which are called conventional vessels, almost 50% of the parts have to be supplied from abroad. Given the fact that in the construction of ships, all the parts and equipment are unique to each ship itself, in the conditions of sanctions, it's a bit difficult to provide them. But at the same time, it has been managed so far.
Following the country's two major shipbuilders, new private companies have also entered the field over the past few years, making the industry expand its roots both inside the country and at the global level. Accordingly, in addition to repairing international vessels, Iranian shipbuilding companies have also successfully built three large oil tankers ordered by Venezuela.
You can see the pinnacle of shipbuilding artistry and engineering in these two Iranian-made oil tankers, that is Afra Marks 1 and 2. In this size and category, more than seven ships have been built in the past 20 years, excluding military ships that use very high and complex technologies. The construction of these two ships was subject to the same components that I mentioned to you when they were launched. They obtained international permits. We have 11 sets of ship ratings which apply the strictest standards required to produce a ship.
The shipbuilding industry does not have a high profit margin like some other industries, and usually the countries are only successful in this field that have all the upstream and downstream industries and the supply chain in some way. We in our country are now giving orders to shipbuilding companies, for example, the Islamic Republic of Iran Shipping Line Group, IRISL, has signed four contracts with Sadra Shipbuilding Company this year for the production of four ships, two of which are roll-on-roll-off vessels and the other two are 3,500 tons vessels. I believe that if the government shows enough support to this industry, this potential could be used in a better way, especially if we can attract foreign investment in this area.
In September 2022, Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro announced receiving the third ship with the most advanced engineering technology in the world from Iran to local media.
That's all for today. Thank you from the whole team. Do tune in same time next week and each week after. Don't forget to leave your comments and topic requests. Till next time, take care.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد عودتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآني
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Welcome to Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Here we are again with Brother Ali Nasser, Brother Hussein Ruhullah, Brother Hassan Nasrullah, and Brother Fawad Haider. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Everyone is fine? Fawad?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, alhamdulillah. So, welcome brothers. So today, inshallah, we'll work on Ayah 20. 9 of Surah Ali Imran, قُلْ إِن تُخْفُوا مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ أَوْ تُبْدُوهُ يَعْلَمُهُ اللَّهُ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَاللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ This ayah, inshallah, we'll talk about it a bit, okay, we'll explain. Then, inshallah, we'll move on with the tajweed rules, so we'll practice the recitation. Is everyone ready?
Yes.
Let's listen once to the recitation of this ayah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إن تخفوا ما في صدوركم أو تبدوه يعلمه الله ويعلم ما في السماوات وما في الأرض والله على كل شيء قدير
Thank you so much to the reciter. Allah bless him, inshallah. Brothers and sisters who are listening to IRIB English Radio right now, please hold your Quran. Turn to page 53, ayah 29 of Surah Ali Imran. So, I will recite once, and inshallah you will listen and repeat. Okay, Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasir?
Yes.
Okay. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
قل إن تخفوا ما في صدوركم أو تبدوه يعلمه الله
قُلْ إِن تُخْفُوا مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ أَوْ تُبْدُوهُ يَعْلَمُهُ اللَّهُ
وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ
وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ
والله على كل شيء قدير
والله على كل شيء قدير
احسنت ما شاء الله thank you so much Allah bless you inshallah قل ان تخفوه ما في صدوركم او تبدوه يعلمه الله One of the attributes of Allah Almighty is this, that we should believe in Him, and like believe in Him, like He is the all-seeing, He is the all-knowing, okay? He has the all-knowledge, He is the all-seeing power, He has the all-sight. Now, listen to the translation of this ayah. Say, قُلْ, say, إِن تُخْفُوهُ, okay? مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ أَوْ تُبْدُوهُ, whether you hide what is in your hearts or disclose it, يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهُ, Allah Almighty knows it. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, and He knows whatever there is in the heavens and whatever there is in the earth. وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ, and Allah has power over all things.
That's the translation. Now, we'll explain it. One of the attributes of Allah Almighty, we said, is
Al-Alim.
Yeah, the all-knowing. And also?
The all-seeing.
The all-seeing. The all-hearing. Okay, these are the attributes of Allah Almighty. So, because Tawheed in Sifat, Tawheed in Af'al, Tawheed in Asma, these all are types of Tawheed. So, Tawheed in Sifat. In Sifat, we have this Sifat, okay? As-Sami' al-Basir al-Alim. We should believe in them. Alright?
Yes.
So, now, in the previous ayah, we talked about it. لا يتخذ المؤمنون أو الكافرين أولياء. Sometimes maybe some people, okay, they are still having some relationships with kafirin, and they try to hide their relationships. Allah Almighty says, قل إن تخفوه ما في صدوركم. If you're doing this and you're hiding your relationship, okay, and you don't want to know, you don't want anyone to know about your relationship with kuffar, okay, that you are making plots against the country, you're making plots against the Muslims, okay? And you think like nobody knows, okay, nobody knows, it's okay, but Allah knows it. Allah knows it, okay? Sometimes, yeah, there are a lot of people, okay, who are plotting against the country, who are plotting against this, the Islam, okay, against our religion. They should be sure that Allah Almighty knows these things. Allah Almighty sees, okay? And in the previous ayah, وَإِلَى اللَّهِ الْمَصِيرِ, we'll go back to Allah Almighty. Make sure, okay? You'll be judged. Allah is fair, okay? وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. You will not be wronged. You will not be oppressed. If you deserve punishment, for sure He will do. Okay? You will be punished. That's all. He is kind. But when it comes to, you damage Islam, you try to damage Islam this way, Allah Almighty is not going to be quiet, okay? He is going to punish you. Okay, that's all. That's all we mentioned, inshallah. إِن تُخْفُوهُمَا فِي صُدُرِكُمْ أَوْ تُبْدُوهُ يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهُ. Okay? Sometimes, God forbid, we have some kind of sense of hatred to someone. Let's say he's Muslim, okay? Maybe it's because of jealousy, it's because of a problem with ourselves, okay? Like useless or kind of bad excuses we have. Like we're jealous about someone, we don't like him, okay? So this kind of jealousy, maybe we do not show it to someone, okay? Maybe we do not, like what? We do not, nobody knows about. It's in our hearts, okay? Some hatred. Maybe, God forbid, we are not so good in our beliefs, okay? Allah Almighty knows all these things. So try to be honest with ourselves, okay? We should try to be honest with ourselves because Allah knows everything. And of course, we ourselves as well know. Yes? Okay. Let's be honest. هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن. Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran. So, that was a short explanation. Hassan, if you wanted to learn more about this ayah, what should you do?
You should read the
tafsir book, inshallah. Refer to the tafsir books, inshallah. Like tafsir Namuna, tafsir Al-Bayan, Tafsir Majmu' al-Bayan, Tafsir Nur, Tafsir al-Mizan, and the rest of the tafsir that, alhamdulillah, our ulama scholars have really made their efforts to provide these tafsir books, inshallah. So refer to them and learn more. Now we'll move on with the tajweed rules. We'll mention some of them and we'll, inshallah, finish this session. قُلْ إِن تُخْفُوا مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ أَوْ تُبْدُوهُ يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهُ. Not very difficult ones, very easy ones. In the first one, Nun Sakin plus
Ikhfa.
Ta. Ikhfa. Very easy. Alhamdulillah, you know. In Ikhfa, you should hide the sound of Nun Sakin or the Tanween and produce a nasal sound. How you do? Say? Ikhfa. Apply the rule Ikhfa in this word. Read it.
In Tukhfu.
Ahsan. In Tukhfu. In Tukhfu. So, ما في صدوركم أو تبدوه يعلمه الله. تبدو قلقل. Ali Nasir, how do you read it? Tubudu. Au tubudu.
Au tubudu.
Au tubuduhu. Yes. Ba produces an echoing sound. Tubuduhu. It jumps a little bit. So, for what next rule you should read? Ya'lamhu Allah. The word Allah. The lam in the word Allah must be pronounced heavily. Allah. Not Allah. No. Yes. So, ya'lamhu Allah. Because you have a dhamma sound before. If you have a dhamma sound, a fatha sound before the word Allah, the letter lam is pronounced with a heavy sound. Allah. Full sound. Allah. Full mouth. And if you have a kasra sound, like bismillah, you pronounce it with an sound. Light sound. So, Fawad, read it. Ya'lamhu Allah.
Ya'lamhu Allah.
Ahsan. Steve, you got a problem with this ayin. I don't know what's happening. Ya'lamhu Allah. Ya'lamhu Allah. Ya'lamhu Allah. Okay. Wa ya'lamu ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard. Fi, we have mentioned this a lot. We don't repeat it.
Yes.
Just skip that fi, the ya sound.
Yes.
Fi al-ard. Ard. Dad. Hussein. Hassan. Read it. Wa ya'lamu ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard.
ويعلم ما في السماوات وما في الأرض.
أحسن. أرض. Ra has a heavy sound. أرض. And last point. والله على كل شيء قدير. In قدير is wrong. We should read it with إخفاء sound.
Yes.
إخفاء with heavy letter. شيء قدير. إن قدير. Right.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much. That's all the tajweed rules. Qadirun actually changes to sukun. Qadir ra has a light sound. So now Hussein, inshallah, will recite once this ayah. We'll all listen to him and then we'll end this session. Okay, Hussein?
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. قل إن تخفوا ما في صدوركم أو تبدوه يعلمه الله
يعلمه الله أحسن
ويعلم ما في السماوات وما في الأرض
أحسن
والله على كل شيء قدير
أحسن كل شيء قدير. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters, for listening to IRIB English Radio. Up to now, thank you so much. We recommend you to stay with IRIB English Radio in the coming sessions. Inshallah, we'll again have our Quranic sessions tomorrow at the same time. See you, inshallah. Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasir, thank you so much for being with us. Is there any questions?
No.
Inshallah, the coming sessions will continue with the rest of the ayat. Thank you so much. Thanks to IRIB English Radio. Thanks to Sevier International Schools for cooperation. So, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
Ten minutes.
UK household budgets are becoming increasingly stretched. And as the cost of living crisis worsens, vulnerable families and their children are being pushed to the edge.
People are struggling to eat. People are struggling to heat their homes as well. That has a knock-on effect in terms of general health and well-being. So we get more people that turn up at accidents and emergency, more people that might be using drugs and alcohol to alleviate the symptoms caused by the poverty that they're feeling.
Around 13.4 million people were living in poverty in the UK between 2020 and 2021, according to the Joseph Rowntree Foundation. Analysis from the foundation has revealed 3.9 million children were living in poverty in the UK in the same period of time.
We regularly have people who come in that may not have eaten for 2-3 days. We didn't used to see that before. I also had a family where one night they fed the son, the next night they fed the daughter because they can't feed everyone. I just think it's shameful that we're in a relatively wealthy city that we have people that are struggling so, so much.
Child poverty increased most dramatically in the northeast of England between 2015 and 2020, rising by over a third, from 26% to 37% of all children. Demand for free school meals is also highest in the Northeast, where around 29.1% of children currently qualify, compared to just 17.6% in the Southeast.
We all know inflation's going up, you know, by a lot, but it's people that are on the lowest incomes that will suffer the most, because the products that they're buying for basic food isn't just going up by 10% or whatever, it's going up by 100%.
But while the Northeast now has the highest rate of child poverty across the regions, many of the worst affected constituencies and local authorities continue to be in London, according to Action for Children. This is due to high housing costs in the capital. The Childhood Trust has found 40% of children aged 6 to 16 are facing food poverty in London, meaning their families cannot afford to keep them fed.
In a city like London, one of the most thriving cities in the world, it's shocking. It's shocking to think that that number of children and our families are struggling to make ends meet and are struggling to provide the food that they need for their families. It's really quite a shocking statistic, I think.
In the words of Lawrence Guinness, Childhood Trust Chief Executive, we've never seen levels of food insecurity at that high before. It's an alarm bell in the face of growing adversity and the diminishing power of household income. Tower Hamlets is the borough with the highest rate of child poverty after housing costs, with a rate of 51%. Child poverty rates are also high in other large cities like Birmingham and Manchester. The latest data available shows children from black and minority ethnic groups are more likely to be in poverty at 46% compared to 26% of children in white British families. Children's charities, schools, and food aid organizations are working tirelessly to plug the gaps created by the welfare system. Food banks are now being set up in schools so children have enough to eat.
Research by the Child Poverty Action Group earlier this year estimated that 1 in 3 school children living in poverty don't qualify for a free school meal. So when we talk about hunger, we're talking about children coming to school and relying on a hot, nutritious meal at lunchtime. And the figures around the 1 in 3 are sitting at around 800,000 children. And that's why we're running a campaign to extend eligibility so more families living in poverty can access good nutrition at lunchtime.
Living in poverty can have a serious impact on a child's well-being. Some report feeling ashamed and unhappy and worry about their parents. Disadvantaged children are more likely to develop severe mental health problems by age 11 than their well-off peers. Kids in inadequate housing have been shown to be more at risk of respiratory illnesses and meningitis. Those in the most disadvantaged areas can expect 20 fewer years of good health in their lives than children in places with more resources.
So when you're living in a cold, damp home, that causes huge problems. If you're in, if you've got pre-existing heart conditions, if you've got respiratory illnesses such as long COVID or COVID itself, if you've got asthma or COPD or other lung conditions, all of those things are made much, much worse by living in a cold, damp home. If you're recovering from surgery, that can take longer for your wounds to heal because you're living in a cold, damp home. So there's a whole range of different things that are affected by the problem of fuel poverty. And that's why if we don't solve these things through economic measures, we're going to see a long-term health crisis affecting our country.
On the rise alongside poverty is childhood obesity, with rates at an all-time high. Children aged 4 to 5 in the most deprived 10% of the population are 75% more likely to be overweight or obese than those in the most affluent 10%. Poverty even puts kids at greater risk of being groomed or exploited by criminal gangs. There are reports that children whose families are mired in deep poverty are stealing basic items such as food and tissues from their schools, and some are missing lessons altogether because they cannot afford the bus fare. In November last year, The Independent published a horrible report about schoolchildren and parents shoplifting to feed themselves and their families. Meanwhile, the Children's Society is warning that government support does not go far enough, as thousands of children are at risk of malnutrition this winter. Campaigners and economic experts have repeatedly called for an overhaul of the Social Security safety net, particularly reforms for universal credit and an end to the two-child limit to receiving some benefits. The 20-pound cut to universal credit in October 2021 plunged families back into poverty after giving them light relief throughout the COVID-19 pandemic. Surprisingly enough, successive conservative chancellors have reduced tax credits and benefits for low-income families with children while introducing tax cuts that have benefited the better off.
We are calling the government to increase its support in order to get through this winter. And we are also calling the government to think about enduring solution, especially in the area of energy efficiency, in order to reduce very significantly the level of consumption of our customers.
According to The Observer, the UK has become a hostile place to have children, as parents are being forced to bring their offspring in conditions that will have grave repercussions for society. It starts even before birth. It's estimated that more than 1,000 babies die or are left with severe injuries each year as a result of something going wrong during labor. Meanwhile, the number of child abduction offenses has been on the rise. Over the past decade, nearly 10,000 children have been abducted. In one case in late January, dozens of asylum-seeking children were kidnapped by gangs from a Brighton hotel run by the Home Office in a pattern apparently being repeated across the South Coast. It has emerged that the Home Office was warned repeatedly by police that the vulnerable occupants of the hotel, asylum-seeking children, who had recently arrived in the UK without parents or carers, would be targeted by criminal networks. Child poverty in the UK is reaching worrying levels. Paltry wages, low benefit payments, and a cost of living crisis mean the UK's poorest families and their children are getting poorer. But will the UK government do something meaningful in this regard? History is not promising, but we'll have to wait and see.
English Radio, a window to peace of mind and spirituality. You can tune in to RIB English Radio 24 hours a day. We are with you. Are you with us?